This play, The Big Thirst, is about the state water issue and the world water issue.
World, local, state, it's all one, really. You know, when I started researching this play, there's so much. I mean, it's everything from those poor women in some sub-Saharan countries who have to walk 4 miles twice a day to get water. And usually they're young women, and then they don't get to go to school, so they don't get an education. And then there's the facts about, you know, the global aquifer is at its lowest ever. There's the, you know, the dams on the rivers, what they're doing to the fish, the loss of habitat. It's like, if I could, you know, list the issues one by one and stretch them around a block, they would go. So trying to write a play that dealt with that is what I tried to do. So there's a character who's a water activist who's stressed out because no one can possibly do it all. And there's a detective, and the river's gone missing. And there's the river herself. And there's a third sister who's writing a mystery novel. So there's three sisters. This is a really strong show for women, I'm happy to say. And I didn't think about it at the time, but I'm from a family of three sisters. So I think that just made its way in there subliminally.
And also Blue Lake, too. The second that they made the town, the river naturally shifted course.
That's right. Yeah, naturally. So, and in some ways, you know, I wanted to make it incredibly entertaining because this stuff isn't easy to listen to. This also is an area in which people generally are pretty conscious of these things. It's not like there's nothing being done up here. There's all these, you know, we have friends in the Mattole Valley who are trying to restore the habitat. There's the whole salmonid restoration. There's the people trying to undam the Klamath. There's the people who are dealing with all these regulations that are kind of quietly over-allocating groundwater. It's deep. So to try to make that stuff entertaining was my goal, and for the audience that I know comes to this festival.
And I can at least attest that the promo videos and the television spots that you've been doing and then the radio spots you did with us, those are pretty entertaining.
I think Janessa is going to be terrific. You know, initially, when we talked about this last year, Michael was hoping maybe we would do another scar tissue mystery, which is a character that I created and did in several shows. And she was a detective. But she was very noir, very Bogart-y, Bacall-y sort of thing. And I said, I don't want to do that. I felt like, you know, I've done that. But I said, I'll write you a new detective if Janessa can play her. Because I think Janessa's a wonderful actress and that she can do comedy and serious stuff. So I thought, I'm gonna write a detective and that she will be more... the noir form works better in a dark theater with lights. So we always start out here in the amphitheater, it's bright. So I want to do something brighter than, so there are kind of references to the noir genre, but really it's more like, I say she's more like Inspector Clouseau than Sam Spade.
That's really cool. And the character that Janessa plays is Dolly Madison.
That's right. You know, you don't know where these things come from when you write. That just kind of came to me, that she's like a dolly. And it may have been to do with something that I saw her in the piece she created a couple of years ago, maybe when she was the tooth fairy or something. Janessa is always putting on different kinds of costumes. So in this, she is Dolly Madison of Disguise Detective Agency. And she changes her clothes about 20 times.
I know, in the promos it like happened once or twice, and that was great.
She's still struggling very hard with that. And then her sister, one of them is, as I said, the water activist, and the other is the mystery writer. And she's sort of setting everything in motion, talking about trying very... They're all trying. You know, because I think everybody's who's trying to do something good now maybe feels sometimes like, we're trying. And, yeah.
And this theme about the One River, One Home is going to continue on throughout the whole Mad River Festival. And that's why you paired with the We Ought Tribe of people
bought? Well, that's not why we paired with them. We paired with them because we wanted to work with them, and we had been thinking about the river as a kind of ongoing theme project, and the river is their home for sure, much more so than us. For them, the river is life. And for us, it's a beautiful piece of scenery down there, or maybe someplace where, if we like to fish, we go, or we kayak. We think of it as recreational, but for them, it's really life. And so there's a character in my play who is a tribal member. There's a character who is the river herself. She's brief, but she has a voice, and there's a group of animals that get a voice. So going back to this whole theme about water, it's really about voices. It's about who gets to decide. And in researching this, who even owns water is such a mystery. And a lot of people think it should be free. And other people who are progressive people think, well, no, we should be paying for it. But is it a part of the commons? And that's the whole fight, you know, with Nestle trying to bottle up the springs, or down in San Bernardino, or Shasta.
Or, and who do we pay for it?
And who do we pay for it? Yeah, yeah.
That's a big one. But in addition to this, I wanted to quickly just mention that on Sunday at 6:30, the Wiat Tribe's past, present, and future tribal chairman, assistant cultural director Ted Hernandez, is going to be given a free talk.
Is the resources director is also going to be there. And they're going to talk about, you know, the history, the culture of the Wiat people, the cleanup of Indian Island. And I've heard Ted talk. He's really fun. He's very entertaining and very knowledgeable. So it's great because, you know, there's Wiat people who live down here at our Blue Lake Rancheria also.
That's right.
And we just had Chuck the sign guy come and put over the front of the door Del Arte, spelled out in Wiat. And there'll be signs all over the building that are in Wiat of some of the things. Men's room, women's room, etc.
That's wonderful. That's really great.
I also want to say that some of the other wonderful actors that people started loving in Mary Jane, like Pratik Motwani, who played Ravi, the yoga instructor, and the guy who sings Nagi Nagi Nagi, people who are fond of his work will be really happy to see him. He's got everybody in this show, except for Dolly, plays several parts, so people are popping in and out of costume, and I love that. It's part of the Del Arte way.
And a lot of people in the play, like you mentioned Pratik, mm-hmm. but Janessa too was in Mary Jane.
That's right. She was the humbled honey, and let's see, who else is in the play? Sarah Peters, James Peck. James only had a brief moment as a thug in Mary Jane, the movie. Ali Menzimer, who was not in that, but she's a guest from Portland, and Johanny Guerrero, who worked with Michael in several Humboldt State productions, including The Hater. She's playing the river, and Jean, the woman who wants to run for tribal chairman someday.
Wonderful. That's pretty cool.
And Michael, of course, and Donald Forrest. I wanted to say that really important. Donald, a lot of people haven't seen him in a while. Donald was part of the Del Arte company with Michael and I and a couple of others for the first sort of 25 years of Del Arte's existence. And due to some injuries, he hasn't worked in some time, but he was also memorable as Bigfoot in White Man Meets Bigfoot. People will remember him. So he's in playing a very recognizable character whose name I will not mention.
And Michael Fields is directing.
That's right. And what Michael has done with my script, you know, is to create the sort of physical business. And of course, we have this great band who are underscoring it. So it has the feeling in a little bit of a cartoon, sort of a Roger Rabbit-y type of detective cartoon. And I want to say funny. I want to keep telling people water can be funny.
Well, that's the best way to tackle subjects like this, yeah. Is interject a little bit of humor. Mm-hmm. And it's going on for the next 3 weekends.
It's going on for the next 3 weekends. It opens tomorrow night, June 16th. I think it closes on July 3rd.
Whenever people hear this, that'll be tonight.
I'm just looking at, Marla Joy, Jeff Kelly, Mike LeBeau, Tim Randall's a wonderful band. Great team been working on this. And the costumes, really wild costumes by Lenny Horrigan. And... Let's see. What else did I want to say? There was one other thing. Oh, also, because I am aware of and have so many friends here who are actively engaged in either trying to save the fish, trying to save the habitat, trying to restore the water, trying to protect the groundwater, all that stuff, I also think of this piece a bit as a gift to those people who... It's hard being an activist for anything. You know, sometimes you think you're just never going to get anywhere because the regulations and the corporate bureaucracy, the nightmares of trying to, and it's so easy for all of that to stall things for so long. So this is kind of a, I hope they'll come and see it too, because this is a gift to say, whoa, we honor you.